Welcome to Magic the Aventuring, episode 255.
That's right, you're listening to a podcast for people who are new to the game of Magic, people who are looking to improve at the game of Magic, who want to get more involved in the Magic community, or just have a pretty good time.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And we have a special guest host on this episode of Magic the Aventuring, none other than Mark Rosewater.
Hello.
Wow.
What is this magic you speak of?
Yeah, it's a game.
It's a strategy card game. Yeah, there are different...
That's he sold. Sounds fun.
I'm in.
It's a strategy card game. Print it. We're doing it.
Okay, good.
A trading card game? What? That's crazy.
So we've invited Mark on the show this week to talk Unstable. This is really, really cool. He's got a pack in his pocket.
I'm ready. Yeah. Ready to talk about Unstable.
But before we do that, we're going to just thank our sponsors for a minute, including you, the people who sponsor us on patreon.com/mtacast. Thank you so much for being part of our magical family.
That's right. Usually right now is the time where we would say, hey, if you want to be a patron of the show, head on over to patreon.com/mtacast and consider throwing as little as a dollar an episode our way. But as some of you who are patrons might have already realized, Patreon recently changed the way that they're doing their processing fees and released a statement that's like kind of nasty.
Yeah.
About some of its creators, basically saying like, we don't care if smaller creators are getting less money. We only care about big creators. So we're considering some other options, mm-hmm. and looking at potentially moving over to a different way of doing our Patreon contributions. So if you're thinking about becoming a patron, hold on to that, and we will let you know as soon as we've got what we're going to do moving forward. And if you're already a patron who's like, this email made me feel kind of weird from Patreon, we totally get it, and we are looking at ways to... remedy this situation.
Yeah, if you go over to the Discord chat, patrons are already talking about it, and if you're worried about contributions at the end of this month going up for you due to patrons' new way they're processing fees, you can check out their kind of workaround that they've posted in Discord, too. That might help you out there. But thank you, of course, to everybody who supports us as patrons. We could not do the show without you.
It means the world to us, and we're so thankful.
Thank you, of course, to cardkingdom.com/mtacast. They are our lovely sponsor who everybody knows in the Magic community. You just know that Card Kingdom is a place to go
fastest shipping in the West.
And this was proved. We were on the pre-release this past weekend.
Yes.
And somebody played the card. What is it? Help us out, Martha. Goblin, free-range goblins, a box of
free... Right, box of free-range goblins.
Yeah, box of free-range goblins and rolled like a two or a one.
A one.
And only got one goblin, and somebody in chat, not even just one somebody, but three or four somebody, said, oh, if you had shipped with Card Kingdom, you would have gotten all six goblins, and fast. So that's just a testament to how wonderful Card Kingdom is, and we thank them for being a sponsor of the show. And
if you're looking to get a box of free range goblins,
they will help you
get them at Card Kingdom.
you literally could.
Make sure all six of them get to you.
You can check out our content on youtube.com/mtacast and find us on all the social media that's ever been invented, except for Friendster.
And MySpace.
Oh, yeah. And LinkedIn. Okay, never mind. Strike that. Right. Not everything.
Do you consider LinkedIn a social
media
site?
I'm on LinkedIn. I don't
Isn't it like... It's like networking.
I need you to endorse some of my skills, by the way, Mark.
Okay. can you head over to our LinkedIn page?
I need to... can play magic okay. Endorsed by Mark Rosewater.
Endorsed
Boom.
By Rosewater.
Badge of approval. But yeah, we've got a great show coming up for you. So, sit in your chairs. Glue yourself to your seat. Because it's about to get unstable. All right, let's talk Unstable Strategy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
That's what I was looking for.
Okay, so I know before we started playing the pre-release, I gave a little speech to these guys about what are the strategies of Unstable. There are actual drafting strategies, so I was going to walk through them. So if you guys want to play Unstable and want to win, or I don't know, do a little better, here's some things
whatever.
You can do.
Something mundane, well, like winning.
Winning Unstable is not always winning the game, necessarily, but...
That's accurate.
Okay, so here's what you need to know about Unstable. There's three big themes. There is contraptions, there is host and augment, and there's dice rolling. Those are the big three. Yeah. And all three of them can be really strong if you actually know how you're building your deck and what you're doing with them.
Yeah.
So we're gonna walk through those three things.
Okay.
So contraptions, every color has contraptions, but how the colors use them are different.
Yeah.
Okay, so white and blue like to be very orderly with their contraption building. And so a good white-blue deck will sort of build a contraption but then fine-tune it. And so white and blue have a lot of cards that let you reassemble contraptions, which means once you assemble it, move it. And also lets you sacrifice things to get more. So lets you sort of trade in some of your weaker ones for maybe some stronger ones.
Like
and
things
so,
like a Chipper Chopper.
Like Chipper Chopper,
they're
yeah.
They're just like, do you know what? This artifact can get out of here.
So with white blue, you need to have other artifacts with your contraptions. Now, your contraptions are artifacts, but to get going sometimes, you need other artifacts.
So, yeah, I noticed yeah. It's like, I kind of drafted a blue deck. Yeah. Not white-blue, but mm-hmm. blue was in it. And as I was drafting, I drafted three Chipper Choppers.
Yes.
And at some point, I was like, wait a second, Maria. You're going to need artifacts to sacrifice to these things. But there's artifact creatures
correct.
In this
all the white-blue Order of the Widget creatures, so the yeah. ones that have the little widget watermark on them, they are all artifact creatures.
Oh,
so
all of them are.
All the white and blue ones that are widget creatures are themselves artifact creatures.
Okay,
so that helps you get artifacts into play. And there's some cheap ones. I know you like sacrificing grandma left and right.
Whatever, kindly cognition.
Yeah, kindly cognition.
Yeah, she was not long for this world.
Right, every time it's like, she will help get out Chipper Chopper, and then she'll sacrifice her. So.
Yeah, it was very rude.
Now, when you get into blue and black are the ones that are the most manipulative. They are the ones that can steal your opponent's... steal your opponent's contraptions, and so that's a little bit more of a controlish sort of thing. So if you want to play blue-black, it's a little more controlish. It has kill spells that help you get things,
yeah.
and it has counterspell. Spell sock is there. And
oh,
so,
yeah, spell sock.
The one thing you want to do in black-blue is a black-blue contraption deck is a little more controlling. It's a little more about, I'm going to slowly build up my contraptions over time because I'm playing a control
yes.
game.
Mm, yeah,
yeah okay. I played, believe it or not, fam, I played spell sock in
did
my draft.
Did you say fam?
I did. It's the first time I said fam on the show. I'm a
I
cool
hope
kid
in
now.
Life.
I think it actually is. I think it is legit.
If you go black-red, so black-red is the supervillains, the League of Dashley Doom.
Nice.
They're a little bit more about destructive things, and so red is really good at building up our contraptions. It builds up the most. It's the color that does the most building of contraptions.
There's a 1/1 for one in red.
Right, there's yeah. a one drop in red, yeah.
That's amazing, by the way.
It just assembles a contraption.
Right.
It's great.
Yes,
EDB is someone to, and red also has... Steam Floggery, it has double...
obscene. That card is obscene.
It's got yeah. a bunch of, like, build a lot of contraptions. Red does the best at building them. Black is more controlish, but if you put them together, you can get sort of a destructive deck that can build them and build pretty big.
Yeah.
Red-green is the go-wild one. Green and red are the two sort of build contraptions at the fastest rate. They love building contraptions. So red-green is a little bit wild. They use more dice rolling, but it's kind of the wild building contraptions. But you get big contraptions. So for example, white-blue, you won't have as many things out at once, but you'll be more controlish of what you're doing. Where red-green is just like, I have a lot. Hopefully it'll do a lot of things. I have a lot. So those are the main, so basically red and green are more about making them and white, blue, and black are a little bit more about controlling things. So as you mix and match, you'll get different combinations. So
nice.
Like you can play a blue-red, for example, you played a blue-red contraption deck where it's a little bit of controlling thing, but a lot of contraption making. So they match up and do different things. So
yeah.
just be aware when you're doing it, different colors have different strategies. This is the theme today. Different colors within each theme do things a little bit differently. That's how the decks play differently. A little designer tip for you. If you make your colors play differently, it creates a more of experience. Okay, so...
for those of you who are in here for life.
Well, that's a design set something. Okay, so next we get into host and augment. I keep using the wrong terms because we keep changing the terms. So.
What were your old terms?
It was like stitch, and then it was suture. So anyway, it's augment.
I think host and augment is better. Suture just makes me feel nervous.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, at one point we were talking about maybe you show you sewing them together, but we didn't really go that route. So we didn't go that route. Okay, so host and augment. So the thing is green and white are the two colors that are the heaviest in host and augment.
Yeah.
They have the most host creatures, and they have the most augment. In fact, green has the most augment. There's four augments in green. There's three in white. There's two in black, one in red, one in blue, and two in artifacts. And host, there's three of each in each color, except there's artifacts have three or four in artifacts. And then in augment, green has four, white has three, black has two, blue and red have one, and artifacts have two. I was saying that backwards. So if you're going to build a host augment deck, you kind of want to have white or green in it, because white and green have the help me cards. Now remember, what's the name of the fight spell? It's
super epic, epic punch.
Really epic punch, I think.
Yeah.
So be aware that if you use it on a host creature, not only do they get +2/+2, that doesn't end. There's no until end of turn. So it's really powerful. So if you use it's absurd. It's really good. Also, both white and green have ways to tutor. Teacher's Pet tutors in white, and green has a spell that tutors. It's the one thing that has a bar through it that's actually not a host creature.
Ooh, I don't know.
It has the two creatures, yeah. So anyway, there are things, and then white also has a little +2/+2 that helps host, gives an extra boost to a host and augment.
Success!
And gives a life.
Right. So anyway, the idea is, if you're going to do host augment and you want to build around host augment, green and white are the two colors. You don't need to play both colors, but you probably want to play one or the other. And once again, black is next after them as having the most of things. Red and blue have the least amount. Now, there is host in every color, so as long as you have augments in one color, you can pick up host in the other color. But be aware, if you're trying to sort of build a deck around it, you need white or green.
I remember sitting to your right in the draft, and you were building
all my white cards.
You had a blue.
I had a blue-white deck.
Yeah, numbing jellyfish.
Right, I had four numbing jellyfishes, and I just wanted to pick up. Now, blue only has half shark half, so I'm trying to pick up the white ones, but you took all the white ones. I got nothing. Nothing.
Cut them right off.
He did. Cut me off. That was in a draft we did the night before. Okay.
Yeah.
So I had rules lore. That was a fun draft.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. I was trying to like stall and then mill you out with four jellyfish, so.
Didn't work.
I lost to both these guys, Matt. Okay, then we get dice rolling. So while white rolls some dice, white doesn't interact with dice rolling. So if you want to make a dice rolling deck, white can roll some dice, but it doesn't interact with them. Blue does dice re-rolling. So blue has a couple cards that let you re-roll dice. So it can, and remember, you can re-roll your opponent's dice. So you have the wall, for example, and your opponent does something awesome, you can go, do it again.
Wall of Fortune.
Wall of Fortune.
That card, is good.
Yeah,
I just now got Wall of Fortune.
Oh, wait, there's some puns in the cards?
No kidding, really?
What? Yeah. Somebody played Division Table yesterday. Was it you? And I'm like, oh, that's a math pun. And then on the thread, people are like, oh, I didn't catch that.
I didn't either, because I'm like, oh, look at this card. It's kind of like a James Bond joke. Yes, and then you're like, no, it's a math joke.
Well, it's both. It's a James Bond. Yeah. Both a James Bond and a math joke.
One of the few places that you'll find a combination James Bond math joke.
You don't get that often. Anyway, so when you're doing dice rolling, blue is about re-rolling dice. Black makes dice rolls better. So you have a bunch of squirrel cards, basically, that either make dice roll by one or by two.
Snickering squirrel
does one, and then there's a black enchantment. It's the one that shows the scientist laughing maniacally. And it makes all your dice roll go up by two.
Okay.
So black, it increases your dice roll. Now remember, you can roll more than a six on a six-sided die. You can roll seven or an eight. I know that dice don't have a seven or eight, but squirrels
you
don't care.
You can roll it.
You can roll that.
Hashtag squirrels don't care.
So basically what happens is in black, it makes your die rolls better. Red is the color that just loves rolling dice. Red's all about chaos. So red, it rolls the most dice. It does the most contraptions, rolls the most dice. Red is a crazy color that does a lot of random things. And then green cares the most about dice being rolled. It has the most cards that like, Science Fair Project, it's the 2/2 that gets every time you roll four or above. Is it Science Fair Project?
I'm not sure. I know about
Mad Science Fair Project is the artifact. Willing Test Subject.
Willing Test Subject.
So Willing Test Subject, for example, whenever you roll four, it gets a +1/+1 counter. There's a bunch of cards that care. Green has the cards that care. There's Chinrin Doom that whenever you roll four above, you get a squirrel. So anyway, there's a bunch. Squirrels like dice roll for some reason.
It's like a little nut.
It's like a little acorn. They're like.
So, if you want to draft squirrels, which is hard because you need to open like Earl's Squirrel.
This is important.
Black green is the squirrel color. So if you want to, you need to kind of open the right cards to make it work. But if you open the Earl's Squirrel, you're like, I'm going squirrels. Black green squirrel color.
Oh. The most important thing.
So green cares about dice rolls. So you can mix and match there. But like blue and black lean more at manipulating dice rolls, and red and green just roll a lot of dice and care about rolling dice. So you can mix and match there.
Sure.
So that is the basic strategies. There are, the one other thing you can do is each faction has a watermark. There's an uncommon that cares about the watermark that you can build around. And then also all of the, some of the contraptions in each thing have a theme. Like The League of Dastardly Doom cares about having creatures in your opponent's graveyard. The Order of Widget cares about you having artifacts in play. So each one of them, sort of, if you want to build a faction deck, they'll push you in a certain direction. They want to care about certain things. So you can draft faction decks.
So which faction are you, Mark?
Which faction am I?
Yeah. Which one do you identify with?
I'm not sure. I think I'm closer to the Order of the Widget, but I kind of want to be the League of Dastardly Doom.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you always want to be in the League of Dastardly Doom until you're in the League of Dastardly Doom.
No, so they, but anyway, the, I mean, the fun thing about the set when you draft it is there's a lot of nooks and crannies. The set was designed, it's actually a pretty deep set. Because we didn't aim this at beginners, I was allowed to, the complexity is a little higher than normal. So there's a lot of different strategies. So as you actually draft it more, you'll realize that there's a lot of subtle things you can do that you may not realize at first.
I think that was, like, our biggest takeaway from playing the games is it's just like, oh, there's a lot in this set.
Yes, there's a lot there.
Like, there's a lot to think about, there's a lot to do. It's just a ton of fun. Like,
we were playing some games. So we did the pre-release with Loading Ready Run. And by the way, thank you to Loading Ready Run for letting us record in their studio.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's lovely. No, we didn't shell out for a new studio, unfortunately. And thanks to James Turner back there manning the controls for us this week as well. So
if we say a car, supposedly a car will show up.
Well, ooh, I'm so excited. Yeah, so like, what was I saying? Oh yeah, we recorded that here, pre-release, and while we were not on camera, we would play games of Unstable, and Megan and I were playing, and I was just like, thought to myself, this is just another Magic set, period. Now, some of it is, you know, very silly and fun, and things wouldn't happen that would normally happen in a Magic set, but it just felt like a brand new set, and the complexity level was there. We were having, like, they were real games.
Yeah.
They were not real games. And I think that's what people were worried about, you know, with Unstable. Like, oh, well, it's just going to be nonsense,
like,
and
so silly,
not real Magic, quote-unquote.
It totally is.
There are real strategies. Like I'm saying, I'm trying to give you strategies for drafting. There are real strategies, and when you're doing your third, fourth, fifth draft, you're like, oh, okay, well, I need to think about this.
Yeah.
And you need, so there are certain skills you'll learn to get better at, like tossing the Flame Mantis. Each time I got better.
There's some new things to learn, including throwing cards.
Yeah.
And here's the real skill. Here's the real skill that you'll learn. Knowing which of your friends you can trust. That's the real skill.
That's a really, very important skill.
That's
really
accurate.
Cannot trust Kathleen.
No.
I'm never wondering.
I don't know why you thought you could trust Kathleen. That's your mistake. That's on you.
That was me. Fair enough, Mark.
I can't trust James. So, we learn some important lessons with Unstable, for sure.
Yeah, when we first were making that, when I first introduced the idea of the outside assistance, there was a lot of skepticism. Because one of the things that we like to do is, how much randomness you have in a set varies a lot, and when you go to the fun end of the spectrum away from the serious, you want to ramp up the variance, because variance is fun.
Yeah.
It makes it a little less skill testing, but it makes it fun. And so we wanted to ramp up the variance a little bit, so like, what are fun ways to add variance? And so I love the idea of, you know what's really high variance? People. And so we added this in.
Humanity.
People were real skeptical. I'm like, well, come on, let's just play test it. And then we would play test in R&D, and all these shenanigans would happen. And they're so fun. And like, okay, this is fun.
That's just such a solid, like, that's like a life philosophy.
Yes. Yeah.
What has the most variance?
People. Yes.
So. I think I'm Agents of Sneak.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
Sneak. I definitely have to be. I mean, it's not a real tribe. The squirrel tribe.
The squirrel tribe, okay.
What's the beaker tribe? You're the beaker tribe.
Oh, Crossbreed Labs.
Yeah, you're Crossbreed Labs.
Yeah. There's nothing like making a humming
beaver.
Camel.
A humming beaver?
If you haven't tried it yet, it's an experience like no other.
Yep.
You want to talk a little bit about the pre-release specifically?
Sure. So what happened was, I think the first one they ever did was Shadows over Innistrad, I believe, was the first one.
Yeah.
And so they did this cool thing where they invite people up, and usually it's four of the people are from Loading Ready Run and four guests that they fly in from around the country. And then we play all day long. So the way it works is there's eight rounds, and everybody plays twice. And so in the morning, it's usually Loading Ready Red people versus Loading Ready Red people, and the guests versus the guests. And in the afternoon, it's the guests one-on-one versus Loading Ready Run people.
And then we take them down.
And we take them down.
So the four of us, three of us and Wedge, we went 6-2. And being that two of the matches were against each other, that's the perfect record. We can't go better than 6-2. So every time it was one of us versus Loading Ready Run, they went down. So.
James is here in the studio, actually. He's
James
running the soundboard word for us. And he's smiling. And
he's like, single tear. Back there. Yeah, sorry, very, James. Well, you know,
so,
next time.
So what happens is it's streamed all day long. And anyway, normally it is before the pre-release happens, which is why it's called a pre-pre-release.
Yeah.
This pre-pre-release was neither pre nor pre-release, but so Unstable being a different kind of experience.
It was release.
It is a little bit different. So we did it the day the set came out. So the set came out and we started it early in the morning. We drafted the day before, which I think the first time they did a draft for a pre-release.
Yeah.
Normally they're imitating the pre-release format.
Sealed.
Which is sealed. So we drafted the day before and they filmed it and they did a little clip of us all were drafting. I was really serious. We're watching on the video. I looked so serious in all of it.
We were serious.
Everyone was, I remember like the feeling when we were all drafting was like surprisingly everyone was just like lasered in.
We want to get it right. And like you said.
But you guys are laughing. If you show the video, you can see the video. If you watch the video.
That's true.
Everyone's laughing, and I'm like, dead serious. I mean, it's funny thing, I was trying to get my squirrel deck together, and it didn't work.
Mark Rosemary doesn't laugh.
It almost worked, Mark.
I know.
Hold on. Yeah. Quick question. James, if people want to go back and watch a pre-release, where do you want them to watch it?
I have a microphone.
Yeah. He's got a microphone.
Tell us how people watch it.
Now I have a microphone. I can watch this thing. So at this point, when does this show come out?
Tuesday.
Okay, by then you can go to youtube.com/loadingreadylive and you can see the whole 8-hour, 9-hour. It was a long day. But that whole thing, the whole thing will be on, youtube.com/loadingreadylive.
Okay. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, it is chock full of crazy moments.
It is.
Crazy moments.
Like,
I don't even want to. There's some crazy things to go on.
Did your microphone just pop off?
It did.
We might need that.
I'm so excited my microphone just popped off. That's the kind of enthusiasm.
That's the only kind of thing that could happen to Mark Rosemary.
It's microphone popping enthusiasm.
It honestly was awesome.
Yeah, multiple times. Epic. I feel like multiple times in chat, people were like, this is the best thing that's ever happened
in the history of Magic.
On Reddit there was a thing that goes, this was the best thing that ever happened until this thing, then that was the best thing. Until this thing, then that was the best thing.
Accurate.
I don't want to give too much away, but there might have been a Scheherazade cast that I was in as a two-headed giant, so
there might have been a surprise two-headed giant game turned into a Scheherazade game.
There may have been an entirely normal armchair that got somebody from Wizards in an epic way. I don't know who could have
guessed
that.
My head was on the table! It's hard to watch when your head's on the table.
It's true.
In my defense.
Yeah.
So, I did get got, so. But, it was really, really fun. I mean, the set is quite fun, but, like, you have to watch it. We had a great time yesterday, and so if you haven't seen it yet, there's all sorts of fun games, so definitely watch it.
Tell us about, because, like, people can go back and watch the replay footage, but we want to hear about, like, how did you feel about the way your draft deck came together?
Oh, so here's the funny thing. So, this is a really telling thing about who I am as a person, is... I sat down, I thought I could pull together a black-green squirrel deck, which is, to me, the holy grail of a draft.
Absolutely.
It's not easy to do.
Yeah.
And so, like, okay, I think I can pull this off. In fact, I had the black enchantment. It's an uncommon enchantment that all your die rolls are 2 greater.
Yeah.
Like, I got that early. I opened up the ninja, the Masterful Ninja, which actually plays that. So I had some black cards.
What was your pack one, pick one?
A Masterful Ninja.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I think maybe I can make this work. And then what happened was the squirrel dice rolling theme didn't happen, and it ended up with like just a really good like black green deck.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, my goal was not to make like a really efficient deck. My goal was to make like a really themed deck.
I wanted nonsense, and I've drafted something real.
So I ended up with like, oh, this is a pretty good deck. Like rather than like, what's my squirrel theme? So.
Because you got robbed.
Oh, right, I got robbed. I'm gonna tell this story.
Okay, so here's the story of the Earl of Squirrel, which was heartbreaking for me.
Kathleen opened it.
Pack three. And she couldn't take it because she was pretty solidly red-black.
Right.
She had a pretty cool deck.
Because she'd opened Griselda, I think.
Griselda. Yeah.
So she was League of Dashley Doom.
By the way, she
is League of Dashley Doom.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. She really
100%. And then it got
You can watch her betray me.
Megan got betrayed hard.
She did get betrayed.
Betrayed very hard by
Kathleen. But by the way, I told you.
I know.
I told you that I love squirrels. And I mean, later you called me in. But
exactly. When I really needed it in a pinch,
okay.
I did call you. But
so passed to Wedge. Wedge couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and he was heartbroken. Passed to me, yeah. I saw its beautiful furry face staring up at me from the pack, and I'm like, it's all happening just like your dreams, Maria, but you can't take it because I was very solidly red-blue. Yeah. I could not take the card which was destined for me, had to pass it on to Adam, yeah. who was drafting just a solid green-white deck because he just can't turn it off. He's like, I just drafted a really good deck!
Yeah.
And he took it one
He could have taken Slaying Mantis.
He could have taken Slaying
That's
Mantis.
That's
true. Because he does a wrestling podcast.
Right? I know.
He could have taken Slaying Mantis, been in theme.
Adam.
Give me my squirrel.
Come on, Adam.
Come on.
But the Earl of Squirrel is just... It's just too good. Like, right. how can you pass
it's
it if
great.
You're in green?
It's
I don't
great.
Know.
So he took it, and he gave me the Slaying Mantis.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
A couple times. Although I only once actually hit the creatures and killed them, but... Although the cool thing is when you miss, you get a 6-6, six, so it's not...
Doesn't matter. The 6-6 is pretty good in this format.
And my goal, by the way, so I was on Game Nights with Joss and Jimmy before this.
Yes.
Which aired a couple days ago, or last week for you guys. And on the show, he drafted a Slaying Mantis, and there's this big moment where Josh, like, my board's full, and, like, if he can do the right thing, he can try to win the game. And, there's a big build-up, and we measured and all this, and he tosses it, and he misses the table. So my goal, although Josh didn't mention on social media, he technically hit the table and bounced off, but it didn't get past onto the table itself. And so my goal was just to get on the table.
Just beat Josh.
So I actually had four tosses, all four got on the table,
Ooh.
One of which killed two creatures, so.
You hear that, Josh?
Yeah.
Wow. You heard it here.
You heard it
Mark
here.
Rosewater can cast a Slaying Mantis better than Josh Lee Kwai.
I drafted, as we established, a red-blue contraptions deck, which I thought was really cool. I loved assembling contraptions. I mean, the contraption mechanic is just stellar, and the cards are gorgeous to look at. And the only regret I have was not moving into red a little bit earlier so that I could have taken some more of those 1/1 goblins that assemble contraptions. Those are super important.
So, yeah. So cool, too.
I had two copies of Work a Double, which assembles two contraptions
right.
at sorcery speed. And, I also had Animate Library, which unfortunately never got to happen.
Yeah, I got that in Game Nights, never drew it either, so.
But, it would have been,
it likes
totally
to
awful.
Stay in its home. It's like,
right.
I'm a library
this
card.
This is where I belong.
I love being in the
I
library.
I go here. This is where I go. Megan, what did you draft?
I drafted a blue-green deck that was, just sort of like, it had a lot of, like, little flyers, a lot of little novellamentals. It was kind of about... playing with my opponent's cards, which was my favorite part of it. Like, I had the 1/3 for 4.
I spy!
Where if you hit
spy
them,
eye.
You get to draw a card That's off it. Of their library. And then I had 2 5-finger discounts where you can bounce any permanent to your hand, and then you get to cast it.
Yeah, one of the fun things about Silver Border sets is there's some rules of things we don't do in Black Border Magic. One of the rules is nothing but your cards can go in your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I like taking advantage of, that's not true here.
So. Exactly. So it was great. Like, I had to make sure I had different sleeves from my opponent, because I was, like, regularly had my opponent's cards in my hand, which was so much fun. It was really cool. I got to cast Crowstorm.
Oh, that
with
was
a storm
beautiful.
Count of 3, which
beautiful.
Was just, like, I made really questionable plays just so I could play, like, 3 spells in a turn for my Crowstorm.
Worth it.
And you
it
won
felt
that game.
So,
you won the game.
Yeah.
The Crows... brought it home.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah. Those
you two are were our 2-0s, I believe.
We
yeah,
are,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Woo! I was 2.5, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. That's accurate.
One of the best moments. So, like, there's this isn't your match against Graham, right?
Yeah. No. My half game was when I played with Wedge.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
No, the best thing about the game against Graham was we had 2 different sub-games. And one of the sub-games, I managed to win it with no permanents not in my hand.
Yeah. Because you...
I Masterful Ninja hit me death, turn 1.
Oh,
so good.
So Ninja, you can reveal it, and then it's both in play and in your hand. So I had literally nothing just in play, and it's like I showed my hand and go, you're dead.
That's perfect.
So good.
Yeah, so overall, like, just a fantastic experience. We've drafted it a couple times now, and I am just like, when can I draft it again? That is how I feel. Like, it's a great set. It's super fun.
Play! Go play!
Mark Rosner says, go play! Yeah, and I second that. Play at your, you know, local game store, and you can make use of cards like Gimme 5 and go around and gain a bunch of life.
Yeah, there's some cards that didn't work here.
Yeah.
Because, for example, we were isolated in a single thing. So there's a card, what's the white card that sends things to the game?
Side quest.
Where your card gets flickered away and goes into another game for a turn. But there's no other game, so we couldn't use that card. High Five, it was hard to use like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's some, the cards are made such that there's different experiences you can do, and certain cards work in certain environments. So some of the stuff we didn't get to show you, like I had someone send me a video of them playing Gimme 5, where they run around their game store, I think they got 20 life. Because you have 30 seconds to high five as many people as you can. For every person you high five, you get a life, and then they get a life if they're in a Silver Border game. But anyway, that's a card, like, in a game store, that's an awesome card. Here, the studio was not quite as strong, so.
Yeah, so there's different experiences you can have with the set, playing in LGS versus playing on your kitchen table, but Megan and I already have a draft set up to go next week, so.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready to play it again. We're pausing the show to say thank you to our brand new sponsor, Ultra Pro! Ultra Pro, are you looking for some sleeves that shuffle like butter?
I mean, not like actual butter.
Not like you're holding butter in your hand.
That would not shuffle well, no. But like when people say it's like butter,
it's like butter.
They shuffle.
Ultra
like
Pro's Eclipse sleeves, amazing.
Yeah, we love their sleeves and all their products.
Yeah.
They've got fabulous stuff on their website, ultrapro.com, and we're so happy to have them as part of the family. We're going to be doing Ultra Pro giveaways once we get back to Minneapolis.
It's going to be amazing.
And they have Unstable. Stuff. They made sleeves and play mats and all sorts of cool stuff. Yeah, for Unstable.
I have Earl of Squirrel sleeves.
That are beautiful.
That are amazing.
The alternate art Earl of Squirrel sleeves.
Earl of Squirrel, look at me. Are you looking at me if you're watching the video version of this, because I'm telling you those sleeves are gas.
And they also have the alternate art cryptic commands.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cryptic
really,
commands.
Really, really great.
Yeah, with the sketch art of Wayne England.
Yes.
So cool. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, Ultra Pro for sleeves that shuffle like butter.
Can you put up the card, Just Desserts? I'm going to tell a story while they're looking. So this card got designed by someone on my team. So we're talking about
Just Desserts.
Just Desserts.
Okay.
So this card does pie damage to target creature. So one of the things you want to do in a set like this is do some cards that kind of play normal, but have a fun twist to it. So this really is just a creature removal spell. And mostly what it does is for 1 hour, it does 3 damage to a creature. You have to guess a lot of Just Desserts to have that 0.14 matter. But it's really flavorful, and so one of my goals is I wanted to get a bunch of clowns in the set, but they got weeded out, so this is the one clown that made it all the way through. It's a little, Flaky the Irrational is the one clown that made it.
I'm sure that there are people out there who are very thankful that this is the only clown.
And there are some weird ways in Magic where you can, redirect things to players. But I didn't, the card doesn't normally hit players, so you don't have to figure out.
Graham said, why doesn't pi go to the face with this card?
And I'm like, so you don't have to do the math. 20 minus pi is,
quick,
20 minus pi is, so.
Yeah.
I did half, in Unhinged we did half.
16 and a lot.
And what I learned was, people had trouble with half increments. Forget pi, just half increments were actually hard. I hit you for 3.5 damage, you have 20 life, where else are you at? And people and so it proved to be harder than I thought it would be. But anyway, this is one of my favorites. So the original plan that I was trying to propose to tell people that the set existed was on Pi Day. I wanted to just put this on my on my Twitter and just say, "Hey, Happy Pi Day!" And then people go, "What? What is this?" And there's a wrench, and then they go, "Oh, there's a third onset!" But we didn't do it that way. That was my original plan.
Okay.
We've got some questions from Twitter.
Okay.
And from online in general.
Okay.
Okay, so this first one is from Juan Vasquez asks, how long can you keep your head on the table?
How long? Like if I was, like, my life depended upon it?
Yeah, say for the 4-1 where you have to keep your head on the table, how long do you think you could manage it?
I think I can do it for the whole game.
Okay.
I mean, in Gaming with Maria, I had it on the table for a while.
Yeah, for a while.
And you kindly killed it, so I came ahead on the table.
I was so merciful.
For example, we did last Tuesday, we did an R&D draft at lunch on Tuesdays. We played Magic. And I played Aaron Forsythe, who's the head of Magic R&D. And he had that card, and so he had to play with his head on the table. And he kept trying to figure out the most comfortable way to get his head on the table. So it was a lot of fun.
Then we've got, why do we have the card Finders Keepers, but not the card Losers Weepers?
Why, I have to save something for another unset. Like, if I give everything away, then I have nothing to do. So hopefully my plan is, if people out there buy cards and play, and it's a success, then I want to make a fourth one. And if I do that, maybe I'll make a Loser's Weepers. You heard it here. Maybe I'll make a Loser's Weepers.
All right, here's a question from Cameron. What mechanic or keyword for the set do you think is most likely to make it into a future tournament legal set? Last Strike and Trample on Instants and Sorceries both seem viable.
Okay, so I've been trying to do Tramples on Sorceries since Odyssey. There's a card called Liquid Fire. There's a card called Liquid Fire in Odyssey. And this was me. I made a Trample spell in Odyssey. And this, if you can see it, this is what the card looks like.
Ooh. Okay, so cool. It's 4 red-red. Liquid Fire deals 5 damage divided as you choose between target creature and that creature's controller.
Right, so that started as, it was 5 damage Trample. And the rules do not like Trample. It doesn't work. Like, one of the things about unsets is some of the things I put in unsets are things that make perfect sense that nobody has any problem understanding that the rules just don't handle.
Yeah.
Like, there's a card called Staying Power Unhinged that I actually try to put in a normal Magic set. And what it does is it says things that last till end of turn, nope, they're just permanent. You know, if you giant growth something forever, it's plus 2 power till the end of the game. And I tried to put that in a normal Magic set, and the rules did not like that one either. And so I put it in the Silver Border set. So, what do I think that I did that maybe. Last Strike I actually put in, or one of my, I think Mark Gottlieb made it when he was on the Future Sight team, and I put it in the set. I put both Last Strike and Triple Strike were in Future Sight, and the rules manager, which ironically was Mark Gottlieb, the guy who made the card, killed him. When he's on a set, he'll like be a designer, then when he's a rules manager, he'll be a rules manager. So he often will make cards that he wouldn't kill.
This is my idea. My idea doesn't work.
And kill it.
And it turns out that in order to make it work, you have to sort of so rewrite the rules that it just really mucks up things to do it. And so was it worth it for a couple cards? And the answer was no. I don't think, either of those, both of those I tried to do normal Magic and did. I actually think that Squirtle Link, probably not keyworded, but we could put Squirtle Link non-keyworded in the set.
Yes!
I don't think we would call it, it could be called Squirtle Link.
No,
But I do believe that's an ability that we could do.
It's kind of cool.
It's really cool.
Dice rolling, black border can handle. It's just would people accept dice rolling?
Right.
The problem with dice rolling is that dice rolling, one of the things about dice is people see dice as random because you're rolling them, right? And so there's a lot of people, how much randomness is in your black border Magic? You know, the question is that something people would enjoy or not? And so it's fun here where the randomness is supposed to be high. The game can handle that. The rules can handle it. That's no problem. So that's something that's possible. I also think that Host Augment, the technology of Host Augment is something that we could maybe do. I don't think it would be as silly as Host Augment, but that technology might be something we could do someday.
Yeah, I like that as well. Yeah.
Which we did, we had like Bestow, which it does remind me in some ways of Bestow.
And there's Melds. I mean, we've been circling that space. And I of all the things actually that I do that probably has the best chance of getting to real Magic, that technology done in a little less silly version is possible.
All right, so all right.
Probably won't have half, you know.
It won't be called half shark, man.
Half beaver, whatever. Yeah, so.
Multi-headed beaver is the one that broke me on the stream.
Yeah, multi-headed, what was it? Multi-headed squid.
Oh, yeah, people were just like, it's a bunch of snakes with a collar on them.
So multi-headed has on one side all these heads coming out, and squid has all these, on the other side, all these little
tentacles coming out.
So you put it together, it's just this weirdest looking thing. So.
Oh, it was kind of terrifying.
Yes, so anyway.
Honestly.
One of the cool things they did on the graphics for the actual, you can see, is they came up with this cool graphics, which we can't do here, but they did in the studio where the cards would come together and you could see them.
It was really, really cool.
I kept forgetting you have to put your cards in the center so that the thing could pick it up.
Yeah.
I always forgot that, so that's why there were friends there. Put your card there.
Our Cube April asks.
Okay. Oh, Cube April.
Cube April. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
What is your favorite pun in this set?
My favorite pun in this set? Wow. There's a lot of good puns in the set.
So, actually, you were telling us earlier, you wrote some of the flavor texts.
I did.
Tell us some of your favorite flavor texts.
Yeah, my favorite flavor text is on More or Less.
Yeah.
I like to say in cards and see how fast James can put the card up. So, More or Less, so the card says, add or subtract one from a number or number word on target spell or permanent until end of turn.
Yeah.
So the flavor text is, why was 5 afraid of 6? Because 6, 7, 8.
It's horrible.
Which is an awesome piece of flavor text.
I could barely listen to it.
That's my favorite piece of flavor text. So. And the way it works is, so Kelly Diggs was the guy who did, who was in charge of the flavor text. So I was a contributor, so I would write the flavor text. And then I really, really like this piece of flavor text, but I have to wait to see what Kelly puts in. And I was so happy when he put it in. So I was like, that's an awesome piece of flavor text. The one I had a fight with him that I got him to eventually put in was There's No Race Like Gnome. It's on, what's the white card?
By no means.
There's two gnome cards, so I was trying to get on one of the two gnome cards, and this one finally we were able to fit it in, so...
Nice.
He finally gave in. I'm like, that... Talk about good puns. That's an excellent pun right there. I mean, this set is chock full of puns. In fact, a lot of the contraptions have... There's all of these puns in the contraptions. Contraptions have really fun names, so... It is a pun-filled set.
Okay, I have a question from Ben.
All right. Okay.
Dear Morrow, how does the Grand Calcatron work exactly? Do we each reveal the cards one by one to arrange the initial program how we'd like? He says it was a blast to draft. Okay.
The way that I recommend doing Calcatron is figure out your program, put them all face down in front of you, and then once you're both done, then you flip them up. You flip your one, flip your two, flip your three, flip your four.
Okay.
But you have to do it without knowing the information of what your opponent's doing.
Yeah.
So you have to both sort of do it in secret, and then you can reveal them.
Okay.
The cool thing about Grand Calcatron is your hand is a program, so what you do is you take your hand, you put it face up, and then you have to play card one before you can play any other card. Now, if you have cards played from other zones, those can be played whenever you want. If you have a flashback cards that you're playing from somewhere else, the program doesn't care. And your program is your hand, so if something makes you discard or affects with your hand, that is your hand. It's a program, but it's still your hand.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, and by the way, for Commander, you can use this as your Commander. I've officially said that it's...
That's cool.
We meant for this to be used for your Commander, and then we ran out of space to put the line, because it's...
Oh, yeah, it can be your Commander.
It's a lot of text to tell you what Grand Calcatron does.
It's so really cool. I actually I hadn't seen this card somehow.
And in the story,
love it.
The Grand Calcatron was the guy who originally founded... Back before, so the guy who founded the Order of the Widgets was just an ordinary man that kept adapting himself until he became the Grand Calcatron.
Oh.
And now he's no longer a creature. He's just a legendary artifact.
He's just an artifact.
Oh, that's cool.
You can see his little white beard.
Yeah, you can see his beard there.
His beard.
So.
Awesome. Let's see. We've got...
I have a question here.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
You answered this for me, but
okay.
Let's tell the world.
Okay.
Why isn't the Earl of Squirrel legendary?
Okay, so one of the big decisions we had to figure out about Earl of Squirrel. So Earl of Squirrel is, I wanted to make a Squirrel Lord.
Yep.
And so what it does is, it has Squirrel Link, as we talked about before.
Yes.
So Squirrel Link is like Life Link, except instead of life, you make 1/1 squirrels. So if you understand how Life Link works, just replace gang life with squirrels. Creature tokens you control are squirrels in addition to their other creature types. Other squirrels you control get +1/+1. So one of my big problems with the legendary super type, I've been fighting an R&D for years to change the rule about legendary and take off all rules baggage. And then just say, it's just a thing, it's a marker, and the things can care about it. But the fact that you can only have one in play at a time, we run into this problem. So Earl Squirrel is made, it's a stackable thing. Well, if you're making a squirrel deck, you want to get a lot of Earl Squirrels out.
Yeah.
So if you make it legendary, you can only have one in play at a time. But if I don't make it legendary, then it can't be your commander. And so I was really torn, but I'm like, okay, what I made this card for was squirrel decks. And so I maximized it for Squirrel Deck, so I made it non-legendary, so that you could have multiple out.
Yeah.
So I feel like I owed it to Squirrel Decks.
Well,
so
thank you.
Anyway, that's why it's non-legendary. I know the Commander crowd is like, this would be a perfect Commander. I'm like, I get that. But it's also a perfect Squirrel Lord. So.
Well, we'll just have to have, like, the king of squirrels or something. And
right.
Next
then
time.
We can have a whole squirrel royal family.
The other big thing people keep yelling at me, why wasn't it the Duke of Squirrel?
Oh.
So, but anyway.
Why do you think? this question is a great follow-up to that.
Okay.
Are you happy with the number of squirrels in Unstable?
I think in retrospect, I would add it a little bit more. I put enough in that you could build a squirrel deck, but I actually didn't put quite enough in that you can really easily draft a squirrel deck.
Sure.
I wish I had put a few more in and changed the aspect a little bit. I wish drafting a squirrel deck wasn't so hard to do. It's a little harder than I meant for it to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible, but the stars have to kind of align. Like I said, my draft, I was trying to make the squirrel deck work, and I came close. I've had the Earl Squirrel, but it didn't quite work out.
Well, I mean, I tried passing it to you.
I mean, if I had the Earl Squirrel, I was all in. I mean, it would have been a squirrel deck.
Oh, yeah.
No question there.
Oh, yeah.
So
no question.
Although somebody kept taking all the squirrel dealers.
What was that?
I wonder who that was. I have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Do you like squirrels? That actually, so here's another follow-up. Why not more kitten hosts and augments?
Why not more kitten? We have, kitten's the only one that's both host and augment.
Yeah.
I also believe, by the way, I think we made a mistake. I think half kitten, half should have been a different color cat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, same artist, same cat, just different colors. So half kitten, I mean, it's a whole kitten, but it's not the same kitten, you know. Right now, it kind of implies that, like, you separated it and put it back together. And, like, that's not, in my mind, no, it's part one kitten, part a different kitten. So, anyway.
And by the way, half kitten,
it's potent.
Is. Yeah. Yes, it is OP. It is really, really
very good
yes.
Actually.
So consider it.
So be afraid. Be afraid of half kitten.
I have a question that's not related to unstable, but just in general. Does your family play Magic?
My son plays Magic. All my family knows how to play Magic. So I'm married to my wife's name Laura, and then I have three kids. So Rachel is 17, and then Adam and Sarah are twins. They are 13. Adam is the one that plays with me. I've taught all the other people in my family to play. They know how to play. But Adam's the only one that really likes to play, so.
All right.
Adam's also the only one that will see Star Wars movies with me, so. Anyway. Like, I showed all my kids the original Star Wars in the appropriate order, great, number four first. And I said to them, okay, who wants the Empire Strikes Back? And Adam was like, I do. And the girls were like, eh. Where did I go wrong? So anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't get this necklace to stop hitting the microphone. So. Solving that problem. Like, you just have to tell them Empire Strikes Back is the best one.
I must have watched Empire Strikes Back 10,000 times growing up.
Yeah.
Actually, R&D's had some major fights over which is better, 4 or 5.
What?
That's not even a question.
I argue on 4. Because without 4,
Mark.
Without 4, what's 5?
You cannot make that argument.
This episode is over.
If you watch 5 in a vacuum, the reason the 5 is so amazing is because it's building on 4. Without 4, what is 5? If I took someone who's never seen the Star Wars film and showed them 5...
Then you can be like, well, this board game that has been made, you know, in 2017 cannot be the best because Monopoly set it up for everybody else. So Monopoly has to be the best.
Monopoly's the best game.
If we did a blind study of people that have never seen Star Wars before, and I show half the control group 4 and half 5 and have them judge it, 4 would be better. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
Because Empire Strikes Back ends and, like, it's the movie that ends, you go, it's over? But it didn't end. What's going on? And I saw it back in the theaters, by the way. I was old enough to see it in the theaters. And that meant, I have to wait 3 years to find out how this ends? So anyway, I was very mad at Empire Strikes Back. I'm like, what are you doing to me?
You know, Mark just never got over that. That's why he can't love 5. He's just like,
he's his father, what?
So, just a general question for me.
I didn't mean to spoil Empire Strikes Back, by the way.
We're going to get so much mail from people who have never watched the original Star Wars trilogy who are just like, how could you? Yeah.
What is your favorite thing overall about Unstable?
It's out? Then we made it? So just so you understand, back in 2011, in January of 2011, so there's what we call the Council of Marks. So a guy named Mark Pervitz, it's one of our brand managers, senior brand manager, and Mark Globus, who is one of the product architects in R&D, and me, all wanted to, we're all big fans of the Unset. So we're like, how do we get a third Unset? The problem was the first two had been overprinted, because back when we made them, we didn't do supplemental sets very often, so they just treated it like it was a small set, which it's not, and they overprinted it, and anything will fail if you make too much of it. Like, take the best set we've ever made, just print too much of it, and it'll fail.
too much cake, and then it's just rotten cake, and then you're like, I don't want to eat cake, it just tastes like rotten cake, because that's all I know.
Even cake.
That's all that
even
was left in the streets.
So what happened was, our master plan was, we started making it before it was, anyone greenlit or anything. So it wasn't like we made it because they said we're going to make it. We just said, well, we'll make it, and then once we're done, we'll try to convince somebody that we should actually put it out. That was our plan.
Perfect. Ask for forgiveness instead of permission, right?
Well, the idea was, sometimes what happens is something falls through, and like, oh no, what are we going to do? And we'll go, well, we have this set. That was our plan. We're going to try that. And anyway, we eventually, built a plan, and Mark Purvis spent a lot of time sort of building a business plan, explaining the business reasons. But anyway, we eventually convinced them to do it. And so it was a long, hard fight. Like, this set was supposed to come out originally in 2015.
Wow.
And then the previous year, Modern Masters came out and did really well. And they're like, oh, we should do another Masters product. What can we push? Oh, we'll push off Unstable. And then it was too close to Kaladesh, because when we made Unstable, we said, oh, we'll do a steampunk set, because there was no steampunk set planned for the future. And then we audibled into Kaladesh after Origins, and then like, oh, nope, we can't have two steampunk sets in the same year, so that pushed off again. And then it was supposed to come out this summer, and then like Conspiracy 3 was squished, like, oh, we shouldn't do it in the summer, it got pushed off to December. R&D had a running joke that like Mark, we're never putting it out. It's like retention. It's like Mark Rosemar retention. Just to, you know, as long as I thought we'd do it, maybe I'll stick around.
Even after anyway. you shot the announcement video, you're like, well, now you have to, right?
No, that was a joke. We did the announcement video, they go, haha, Mark thinks it's coming out, you know. yeah, the running joke is every time we would do something, we went one step closer. I'm like, well, I announced it. Oh, I went to the printer. Oh, it's in stores. Oh, people are buying it. Maybe it's coming out. So the thing that's so exciting for me, that I mean, if you watch the video, I'm very excited all day yesterday, is I worked so hard to make this. It was such a labor of love, and it really was a struggle to get it out. So the fact that it's actually out, that people can buy it and play it, and that people are having fun with it, it's a great feeling. So I'm beyond excited to see it actually out there. And the fact that people love it, you know, like, I've gotten so many letters from people that are like, I did not think I was going to like this. I came into it like expecting to hate it, and I played it, and oh wow, it's really fun. So that is great. So that's awesome. So if you have not tried it, all I say is try one draft. It is
not. You'll be sold.
A lot of people, it is not what you think it is. I mean, it is not normal magic. I mean, but it is a lot more like normal magic than people seem to think it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's real strategies. There's real gameplay. Weird things will happen, but it's an actual game of magic. It's a weird game of magic.
It's so much fun.
But it's an actual game of magic. It is fun.
So much fun. So what we're gonna do, I thought, okay, what if we do like a little sampling?
Okay.
Like, what if, Maria, you open that pack and we each take one and do a movie pitch. Okay. And then you give me three and I'll make three Mad Libs.
Okay. Okay. Do you want me to look or?
No, put them
random?
Face down.
Face down.
Random.
All right, there's a token.
Actually, let me take my three for Mad Libs.
Yeah, you need
because
to.
Because I made that.
So we're going to combine.
If you haven't seen these before, every set has a token. So there are there are 16 tokens. 8 of them are tokens that are made in Unstable, and those are foil tokens that on the back have a humorous ad. And then 8 of them are not found in Unstable. And what they are is we found like the 8 most popular, I forget how we found it. We found the 8 most popular token types, like zombie. And so these are foil on the front and then full art, but not foil on the back.
Yeah, these are just gorgeous.
They're very gorgeous. So
I'm glad that they exist. And it'll be so cool to see somebody, you know, playing with the full art token.
Yes, so it'll be fun.
Attack.
Also, every pack, or almost every pack, also comes with a full art land. Every once in a blue moon, you will get a steam flogger boss, a black border steam flogger boss.
Oh, cool! I didn't know that.
The only black border, that's for steam flogger boss shows up on the land sheet because it's black border.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, and the lands are really awesome. Is the land here?
Oh, there it is.
Okay, so this is the land.
It's my favorite one, by the way.
There is no borders on these lands.
They're so pretty.
Illustrated by John Avon. They're super pretty. So in every pack you open, you will get a land or a steam flogger boss very infrequently, and you'll get a foil token. And then you will get 2 contraptions and 13 other cards.
Awesome. So we're going to do a combination flavor text theater this episode.
Okay.
We're going to put together some of our greatest hits, including movie pitches and Mad Libs.
So are you aware that I did improv in college?
Oh, did you?
I did.
Well, excellent.
I started an improv troupe, so.
Did you? What was your troupe's name? Do you remember?
Uncontrolled Substance.
That definitely sounds like an improv troupe, all right?
I started an improv troupe in college. In fact, I wrote an article about it not too long ago.
All right, so what we're going to do is I'm going to randomly give you one of these cards, and we are going to pretend like we're going to, choose your movie studio of choice.
Right.
I
also used to work in Hollywood, so. This is off my alley. I'm prepared.
Okay, and we
I've done actual pitches.
We are going to pitch a movie based somehow on this card. It can be based on the name, the art, or the flavor, whatever it is. We're going to develop a movie or a TV series based around this card. And by the way, if you are a patron, you get a chance. We're going to put these in the drawing for patrons at the end of the month. And Megan, do you want me to start out while you're working on Mad Libs over there?
You guys start while I'm Mad Libs.
Okay. So I've got the rare, actually.
Okay, you got the rare? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so, what is this going to be about? Okay, got it. So what's happening? It's kind of like a, I wonder if this is going to be, this is a movie. This is a movie. Okay. It's set in the past. So let's say
1200s or something. No, okay. No, no. We're sitting in the French Revolution.
French Revolution, okay.
And it's the main character is the person who cuts the heads off with the guillotine.
Okay, so, the guillotine person. Probably, yeah. Probably man, if you're talking
yes,
about
Yes, the guillotine
the
man.
The guillotine man, okay.
The executioner, if okay. you will. Okay. Oh, yes. And, of course...
Oh, I know where you're going.
What could my car be? And, he's doing his job, you know, cutting off heads left and right like you do in a revolution. And, except then comes a noble lady yeah. around his age, of course,
okay.
who he's got to, like, he's got to chop her head off. It's been yeah. the orders. And he's able to delay it, you know, through...
But he's fallen in love with her?
He's fallen in love with her. Okay. But he's supposed to chop her head off. What can they do? And it's a, you know, a star-crossed lovers film. Yeah. And in the end, they escape and run away together. It's okay. called Hangman. Are you buying it?
Okay.
Are you funding this film?
Okay, my film... is an eco-thriller. So basically what I'm trying to do is, we're trying to show, you know, global warming's a thing, it's really a hot yeah, topic, but yeah. there's deniers and stuff. So clearly it's a movie where that people aren't, you know, the polar ice caps are melting and stuff. So it takes place in Florida.
Okay.
Okay? And the idea is the Everglades, due to the melting ice cap, is starting to get more water, and the animals in the Everglades are sort of being affected by the weather change,
yeah.
and they're going a little bit crazy. And so, basically, it's a horror film where all the inhabitants of Florida have to deal with the fact that they're being attacked left and right by wild crocodiles!
An eco-thriller!
An eco-thriller.
Nice.
I think Elmer's got some money.
But you learn something.
Okay. Mine is about a guy who gets into a lot of debt,
okay.
And he decides that the best way to get himself out of debt is to play competitive Monopoly.
Okay, that's
good. He's like, this okay. is, you know, because he was
something
always,
must happen to him. I'm
yes.
Sure.
Well, he was always very good at it as a kid, but it turns out that as an adult, amongst other adults, he is no longer good at the game of Monopoly. Okay. So he gets involved with a ring of people who are like, hey, we can rig Monopoly
games.
All Monopoly riggers.
Yes, they can fix Monopoly games.
Oh,
and
man.
He's like,
loaded dice.
This is it.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, you know, stacked decks, yeah. stacked chance cards. And he's like, so he gets involved with them, and then they like yeah. rig a couple of games for him, and he starts winning, but then he turns his back on them, so they turn him in, and he has to go to jail.
What's it called?
It's called Go to Jail. And atone for his sins.
So the best game for you guys is to figure out what the unstable card is before we finish.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so now we're going to have some Mad Libs.
Okay.
All right. First, I need a place.
A place?
Yeah.
How about a morgue?
Ooh, I like it.
All right. Now I need a noun.
A noun. Flibberty Gibbet.
Okay. An adjective.
An adjective. How about prehistoric?
Wow, that is a great adjective.
And another noun.
Dirt.
All right. All right, next I need a person.
A person. How about a limousine driver?
I need another noun.
Oh boy.
You get all the nouns.
I do get all the nouns.
You're about to get a noun
acid,
too.
Okay. Acid rain. Now I'm thinking about eco thrillers.
All right, I need another noun.
A kamikaze.
Ooh, nice.
I need an adjective.
Bleak.
Bleak.
Wow.
And nothing funnier than bleak.
That's just hilarious.
And I need an animal.
An animal. How about a... What's a good animal? An armadillo.
Nice.
Ooh, great animal.
Yeah.
And I need an adjective.
Super crinkly.
Super hyphenated crinkly.
Crinkly. Crinkly. I have trouble with just one word.
Yeah, I know. Your magic words yesterday were all two words. Magic
all
words.
Hyphenated.
Stuffed
cross.
Stuffed yeah,
cross.
I need an animal.
Oh, another animal.
Yeah.
How about a stegosaurus?
All right.
Nice.
A noun.
I'm on noun. Well, I'm definitely just going to say stuffed crust.
Yep.
Hyphenated.
Hyphenated.
Stuffed crust.
Yep.
And I need another noun.
Another noun? How about a do-it-yourself home bottling kit?
What are you bottling? Just anything?
Do-it-yourself.
Yeah. Do-it-yourself. You can bottle whatever you want.
Home bottling kit.
So you wrote a bunch of
and
flavor text.
Wait, Marie, I need a place.
I need a place. Magic R&D.
Okay. The pit.
The pit. You've written a bunch of flavor text, so we are now going to take all of your hard work and throw it out the window.
Out the window.
All right.
See what some of these I actually wrote. Well, maybe some of these I actually wrote.
So the first one is from Beast and Show.
Okay.
This is says, we've not seen one of these on the podium for many seasons. Such magnificent posture and the perfect amount of telltale odor.
Yeah, and these are that'll be the Gnarled Beast and Show because
they're variant cards.
It's so
there are variant cards in the set. 13 cards have more than one version, and in common, there are four cards that have art versions, and this is one of them. So Beast and Show is making fun of how we put Beast on cards, but it covers a whole wide range of things.
Yeah, very wide range.
Oh, that's great.
And then Beast and Show, see, it's like so cute,
I can't handle it.
People have asked, what's the cutest card in Unstable, and as you may know, Gnarled Pack is the cutest card of all time, and this being a Gnarled on a card, it is automatically the cutest card for Unstable.
This is about to get really dark, though. Because the new flavor text reads, we've not seen one of these in the morgue for many seasons. Such magnificent Fliberty Gibbet and the perfect amount of prehistoric dirt.
That one works pretty well.
That's good.
All right, our next one
is... I should call Kelly. We can swap it out. With her.
Prehistoric dirt. Works for Gnarled.
We'll get a promo version.
This one is one of the variants of Novelemental.
So Novelemental is another card that has four versions.
Yeah.
We're making you work, James.
It has flavor text that tells a story.
Yeah.
Because it's a novella.
So this one is the one that says, my grandmother had sold the rest of her jewelry long ago, but she left a particular necklace in my care, a golden chain bearing a raven-shaped charm.
So by the way, do you know what happens? Have you guys read this novella? Do you know the little pieces of what happens?
No.
No.
The person ends up turning into a storm crow.
Nice. Cool.
Anyway, I didn't mean to ruin it. I didn't mean to ruin Novelemental for you.
We've ruined some Star Wars.
This is on the scale of ruining episode 5.
I didn't
get
to the fourth Novelemental yet. What are you doing?
All right. My little
Rosebud's a sled. It's a sled.
Oh my God.
He's dead the whole time.
It's a man. He's a man.
How many movies can
just ruin? Just
he's in his imagination.
He's not a real person. He's the usual suspect.
This is like when we had
Dorothy gets home.
30 seconds to explain modern decks. Now it's like ruin every movie in 30 seconds.
In one line.
Go 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 go.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Right. Go to the next one.
I was gonna try and ruin an M. Night Shyamalan, but then I realized that they're usually already just ruined.
He's the last airbender!
Oh wait, I suppose I did spoil Sixth Sense. Okay, never mind. Continue.
I spoiled Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Wait, no, you spoiled
I
that
did
one.
It, yeah.
Which one did I spoil? Spoiled Fight Club.
Oh, okay. Fight Club. Yeah.
All right. My limo driver had sold the rest of her acid rain long ago, but she left a particular kamikaze in my care, a bleak chain bearing an armadillo-shaped charm.
Ooh. I would read that book.
That's a movie pitch right there.
Yeah, it is.
It's called Armadillo.
My limo driver had sold the rest of her jewelry. All right.
Okay, what's the last one?
Our last one is Steel Squirrel.
Ooh, Steel Squirrel.
Question, where does a mechanical squirrel hide its nuts? Answer, in a bolt hole.
See, there's a pun.
Question, where does a super crinkly stegosaurus hide its stuffed crust pizza?
Where does it hide it?
Answer, in a do-it-yourself home bottling kit in Magic R&D.
I love jokes that don't make any sense, so that works for
me. R&D does a lot of home bottling. I know people know that.
Where does a stegosaurus hide its stuffed crust pizza?
In a home bottling kit. Don't you get it?
In Magic R&D.
No. Paleontologists have been trying to figure this out for years.
Jokes!
Jokes!
All right. That is our flavor text theater.
Yeah, a big thank you to Mark Rosewater for coming on Magic the Amateuring.
Yay!
Who knew? We started off as a little podcast recorded in a kitchen, and now we are sitting here with the man, the myth, the magic himself, Mark Rosewater.
Well, it was great being on the show. It was fun. And you guys live a little close to me, I'd be on more.
Yeah. We could play, play movie all pictures all the time. It'd be legit.
Next time I'm on, we'll do more movie pictures.
Okay, great, great, great.
Perfect, perfect.
Yours was, I mean, it's getting made. Al Gore called. It's already
financed. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Al Gore financed it. It's like half documentary, half eco-thriller. So.
Wild crocodile.
Perfect.
A big thank you once again to our patrons on patreon.com/mtacast and cardkingdom.com/mtacast, which is the link to use if you want to buy some Unstable. Obviously, you can buy the beautiful lands. You can just buy boxes to draft with your friends. I highly recommend trying to get a group together. Even if it's just six, you can do a team draft and play Unstable, especially over the holidays. Like, this is a great game for like your buddies if you're going home and seeing some of your high school buddies who play.
Sharp half alligator.
Look at that.
That's a movie right there.